Welcome to the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm Blaine Prost.
And we would like you to join with us on our ongoing adventure exploring our Edible Valley. I am Jonathan Fraser.
Well, welcome Carmi Dixon to the Edible Valley studio. Welcome, Carmi.
Hello.
You're the owner of Carmi's Cafe and Catering in Cumberland?
Yes, I am.
And how long have you been open up there for?
It was 5 years, the 1st of May.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's a pretty good milestone in the restaurant business.
Yeah, it was a challenge. There'll be an article coming out in the Business Gazette month with it, about it.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, 5 years is kind of that staple for restaurants. If you can make it that long, you're kind of set.
You hope so, anyways.
You know what you're doing, at least.
Yeah, yeah. We're faking it well.
Faking it well, exactly. That's excellent. So can you tell us a little bit about the restaurant and what people can expect when they come in there?
When they come to the Carmi's, it's all homemade food. We cook our own potatoes and then fry them up for our hash browns. We make freezer jam. We have farm fresh eggs for breakfast. And then we go into lunch, and it's about the same thing with that. We cook our whole roast beef and slice it up ourselves. It's not deli stuff. We cook our real turkey for our turkey meat. So if you come for a hot turkey sandwich, it's like getting something from home, so it's basically all home cooking, and you can get breakfast all day.
And that sounds great.
Good old comfort food, right?
Yeah.
And I change my menu twice a year.
Okay.
So in the fall, I change it up to more comfort food, and then the summer, I take out some of the comfort food and bring in more salads and things that people are looking for in the summertime.
Get those fresher things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, with all the local farmers and everything, that's right. A great time to use them up.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. So you do a bit of that with local farmers and stuff like
yes.
that?
Yes. Yeah, always, yeah. I use Bates Beach Farm.
Right.
She comes out every Thursday with a load for us and mm-hmm. what they have and get our raspberries from there for the jam. And
perfect.
Yeah, makes it great. I don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah. Actually, you're kind of lucky that way that there is a lot of farmers that actually do deliver.
It is great, yeah.
Them, so.
Yeah. And Wednesdays, when it gets back to normal, if I have it off, I try and go to the farmer's market, too, and go through what I need. And it works out great on Wednesday shopping, because then Saturday with the catering jobs, you've got all the nice, fresh stuff. And
exactly.
Yeah.
So what are the hours of the restaurant?
We're open from 8:30 in the morning, 6 days a week, and closed at 4. Sundays, we close at 3, and right now we're closed on Tuesday.
Excellent. So... some of the other things, I guess, you get into in the restaurant, you do a bit of catering.
Yes, we do. Yeah. We do any kind of catering. From 2 to 300 was our biggest this year. We did up on the base. We did a big mess dinner for them. We do regional district, weddings, birthday parties, sit-down dinners where a group of 6 friends get together and they want a dinner, so we'll use their kitchen and make up a meal for them, whether it's been barbecued or whatever, and things like that. Whatever you want catered, we've done big time out when it was a few times, did music fest years back. So
what kind of foods are you doing at those events?
At the big time out music
fest? Yeah, those kind of.
We did wraps the couple times we did them because it was something that people could grab and go. It was fresh
right.
food instead of doing all the fried stuff. But people seem to like the fried stuff better. No matter how good that is, it's their treat, right?
But, yeah, it's that festival food, I guess.
Yes. Definitely.
Everyone loves French fries
and falafel.
Well, that's what you go for, right? That's your treat. You've dieted all week. A lot of people look at it, so that's their treat. But there's the other ones that are still on diets and everything. That
they like the nice fresh.
It's a lot more work doing festivals than it is anything. I think that's the hardest job ever. It's way easier being in the kitchen than it is being at a festival.
Right.
Yeah, you're used to having your space and all your tools and your equipment.
And the lineup ends
right
at the restaurant where at the festival it doesn't end, if you ever noticed.
Yes.
Yeah, they tend to go on and on and on.
Yeah, they never seem to stop, and you wonder if you're ever going to get there.
Yeah.
I guess that's the joys of a restaurant. Once you've hit your full seating capacity, you can slow down for a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, and until you get caught up, right?
Yeah. And I guess when you do a festival, planning the amount of food you need can be tricky as well.
That's the hardest. Is guessing how much you need and having enough, being able to store it on site.
Right.
Is the big challenge at the festival. These people that do it regularly is quite the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they do it all the time. It's the money that draws them.
Right.
It's your own, whatever you can do. If you've got one of those wagons, those trailers, whatever they're using, that's the ideal way to do it. We were just doing it with tents. And
Holy
jumping, that's a lot of hugging. Hubby's glad we're not doing it anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I guess even for being in Cumberland, you're on Dunsmuir Ave, which is the main street of Cumberland. So you, there's a lot of events happen downtown there for you too, right? So
yes.
I guess that does bring a lot of traffic your way.
It brings extra traffic into town. It always helps. And lots of tourists because they're all coming to see Cumberland because it's a historical place. So we've got extra coupons that we give to people for the museum to go through because it's been said to be the best museum around.
Right.
Just because of the history in it, and it's two levels. It's worth taking the kids to. It's a really cool place.
It is neat.
But, yeah, with all their events, they try and plan lots of stuff and try and keep everybody involved as much as they can.
Mm-hmm. There's also a big mountain biking community out there. So that must be a nice bring in a few people for
you. Not so many for us because it's you go biking after, most of them go biking after work or on Saturdays, right. And then it's off to the Waverly for a beer, right?
Of course.
I don't have a liquor license. So I see no point in getting one for breakfast and lunch. It's just just a kind of a pointless thing. Not that lots of us wouldn't like a beer at lunchtime sometimes, but you know.
Sure enough.
Just a different market.
Yes.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's the atmosphere is different. We promote it as a family restaurant, so I don't want to have beer in a family restaurant or any alcohol. It's just not my...
Yeah, you can bring your kids and not have to worry about it.
That's right. That's just how we've tried to set it up, that it was that way, and I don't want people drinking and then getting in their vehicle with their kids. And
yeah.
There's enough drinking without your kids in the vehicle, right?
That's right.
And there's enough drinking in Cumberland as it is. We have three pubs within two blocks of each other.
Yeah, exactly. And then the Legion.
Oh, yeah, right. The Legion.
Yeah, you're supposed to be a member. They're quite flexible, but yeah, you're supposed to be a member.
A member or a friend of a member.
Yes, so they can sign you in, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's lots of options. And then I think Mars has a liquor license, too. Mm. And Tarbell's has a liquor license.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know if the Wandering Moose does, but that's
not
lots.
Sure. I don't think they do, but
yeah.
We have a lot of restaurants in Cumberland.
Actually, one day I counted them, and there were 7 restaurants, not including all the food you can buy at the local corner stores.
Wow. Yeah.
So competition is high.
No kidding.
In Cumberland. Really high.
For 3,000 people that live there.
Yeah. It was quite... The one thing that I've liked by all but one, which I won't say who, but everybody has kept their food different. Like the Waverly's got their style of food. I have mine. The Cumberland has theirs.
Right.
Everybody's kept it different in their own little niche, so nobody was cutting into each other's pie. Like, you're already cutting into it somewhat, but at least it was different. And then another one came into town, and they're doing some of the same stuff, right? Like, didn't do the research like everybody else had done. And,
right.
But you can't do anything about that. Just keep doing what you do. And
Let your reputation speak.
Yeah.
Well, it always helps to work together. Especially in that, because it's easier to open up that pie, make the pie maybe a little bigger than...
Oh, exactly. Like, Tarbell's ran out of sour cream the other day. It was able to run down, borrow some, and come back, and then return it the next day, you know? You don't get to do that, you know, in many places. And we've lent things to the Waverly. They borrowed from us, and the Cumberland, the same thing. So, you know, we all have moments where you... Damn, I need another cucumber or whatever. You know, like, here I am, put quesadillas on the other day, and I had one scoop of cream cheese, sour cream, and I thought I had a full container in the fridge, and lo and behold, it was pickles in there.
Oh,
man. Who put pickles in the sour cream container? So you just go to the first place you can get to fast, and they're great. You know, they all say, oh, I'm glad you borrowed, and, you know. Time, so it's a great village to be in. I really enjoy it out there. Yeah,
It's an interesting spot. Now you've been there 5 years, and I guess we could talk before you were in there. It was we were talking just before we started the interview about it was the Miner's Cafe. Is that
yes? It used to be the Miner's Cafe. It's had a couple names. Pauline was the first one that was in there, and it was a cafe, and she just had the one side with a few tables in it, so everybody would cram into that one side and visit and everything. And then she brought her brother in, and he was a baker, so they started making bread. And then they added on the other side, opened it up, and did bread in that customers in that side. And And then they both moved on, and he went back to his original painting job. And then Duncan came in, and he bought it, and he was a baker, not a not so much of a cook, but the big thing was they did hot dogs, fatso hot dogs, they called them. You know, like, yeah. But, and then I guess he'd had enough, and he put it on the market, and that's when we were looking and bought it then.
So how did you get into the, how did you come to acquire it?
To acquire it?
Yes.
Well, we were coming back from holidays from Mexico, and I said to my husband on the flight, I said, why don't we buy a restaurant? And he said, sure, why not? So we started looking, and I was already familiar with Pauline's because I'd worked for a few different shifts off and on, and so we bought it. Jumped in, head first, you know? I'd been in the restaurant field for a long while, off and on, and done snack bars and lunch encounters, but I'd never owned anything this size before. So it's been an interesting challenge, to say the least. I definitely like the smaller ones better, but because then there's no staff issue, just yourself, right?
Right.
But we're really lucky with our staff. We've got some great staff. Three out of the four staff we have all live in Cumberland. Well, just nice. Happened to work out that way, but two of them have been with us for almost the whole 5 years, one for over a year and a half, and the newest one about 2 months now.
Right.
Along just fine, so it's nice. Good. We have a good time, and we have a student that works for us. He walked in one day, dropped off a resume, and I wasn't there, and one of the other girls took it, and I was reading it after when I got it. Where is he? And he just went out the door. Go get him, because we needed somebody, right?
Yeah.
So brought him back. She yelled at him outside, come on back, and Harry's been with us ever since. And
that's great.
He does weekends with us, and great catering, and so it's a nice group that works well together. And
nice to have that camaraderie.
Yeah.
It kind of, I always say that it shows in the food, because people who enjoy what they're doing, enjoy working together, I think produce nicer stuff than people that feel like they're forced to be there.
Yeah. They're not happy with it. Yeah. Like anything, if you're happy doing what you're doing, it shows definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We have a good time. We have our staff nights and everything. So we go out, we take them to the pub one night and bought them all wings and a Christmas party in May. A little late, but
sometimes that's the only chance you get.
It just didn't work out at all in there, so got it all done, and then we'll have a couple gatherings down at the summertime down at Cumberland Lake, and
nice
something with them to have fun, and we get along fine, so it's nice.
So I guess with the catering and the restaurant, you stay pretty busy year round.
Off and on, like everybody else, there's the, you know, the ups and downs. Like today was a down day. It was, there was nobody around today. Nobody.
Nobody.
It was dead in Cumberland. Like where everybody went, you have no idea. And yet you'll open on Wednesday and we'll be run off our feet, as you guys know. You know,
it's
the nature of the beast. But we stay steady. It's good enough that it works for us, so. Yeah.
Well, you're keeping your doors open that long, so.
Exactly, yeah.
I found the summer heat has been pulling a lot of people away.
Oh, definitely.
It's too hot, or they're going, they're eating earlier or eating later. And
we have too many places to go here to enjoy the water, and when it's warm like this, if you're not at work, most people are at the water. Or
Yeah,
like Sundays have quieted right down. Saturdays are still busy, but Sundays have just quieted right down because perfect family day, right? Let's just grab something and go out to the beach and relax there, and you throw stuff in the cooler and you're good to go for the day. And nobody cares what you eat when you're out at the beach. It doesn't have to be fancy. Just grab and go and empty the fridge and go home, have a shower, and everybody dies. Yeah. Passes out from all the fresh air and sunshine. And
that's it.
Yeah.
And a good sleep, right?
Yep.
It's good, though. The weather's been good. It's nice to have the nice weather.
Yeah, absolutely. We only get it for a couple months out of the year, this kind of weather, so we've got to enjoy it.
June is a rain month. And
seems that way, doesn't it?
Yeah. Last couple of years it's been that way.
Good for the garden.
Yeah.
And good for the people in the kitchen, too.
Yeah, it's cooler.
Yeah, it's not so smoking
and it's busier,
hot.
Busier, actually.
Oh, yeah.
When the weather's like that, because people, what else are they going to do, right? So it's just kind of better for business on one hand.
Get a few more people in the door.
Mm-hmm.
Meet a few more. Sounds good.
I really like the fact that you're using whole cuts of meat, like you're making your own in-house roast beef and whole turkey. There's nothing worse than that deli business.
I know. I can't stand the taste of it. No, I don't like it. Yeah. We buy it all from butcher block, same as our chicken. I don't buy frozen stuff. I buy fresh and then we freeze it ourselves. So it's not pumped full of all the water and stuff like that. But, and then all our gravies, like everybody, there's always a mix involved, but we add all our drippings.
Yeah.
Except for the turkey. It's pretty much all homemade.
Because
you get so much of it, right?
But, well, we were at your place for the Chefs Association meeting back in, when's that? Back in January?
January, was it? January, we did it in January.
Yeah.
I want to say the first or second week of January.
Yeah, and you cooked
the
roast.
I think it was the second one,
big roast beef and...
That's the one we always do, top inside round.
Right? Oh, it was beautiful. I ate my weight almost in that roast beef. It was great.
Good. I like it because they're easy to cook. I remember growing as we were first married, I'd cook a roast and you buy a little one. It was like you cooked it to death. And what a difference cooking a 20-pound roast.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you don't need to cook it to death. You can still leave it medium and it's delicious. And give everybody everything out of that roast from well done to medium, right?
Yeah, depending on which end you take from. You know.
Yeah.
Well, we usually just cut it in half and then it's, you know, it's all a part of the show, right?
Yes.
I used to like that, doing banquets when way back at the Kingfisher days and doing carving for people out there.
Well, you get that one-on-one contact.
Yeah.
I really enjoy the carving part myself. I've rarely let anybody else carve. I'm doing this, and then Gary runs the kitchen and brings out all the supplies and everything, so I can just focus on doing that and talking to the people as they come through.
Yeah, it's fun. And they're always super appreciative. You're the face of the show, not the people in the back who actually did it all.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, definitely.
So that is one of the concepts with your restaurant, is that it's, you have an open kitchen.
Yes. Yes, you can see in. You can sit in the kitchen side and watch us cook if you want to. And
so it's a very home feeling.
Yeah, I guess
restaurant.
So, yeah. Yeah. And if you talk loud enough, I can hear you. Above the fan.
You gotta love those hood vents.
Yeah,
right?
You think after all this technology, they could make them quieter.
No.
No. It's too much air movement.
I have made them quieter, but it gets really hot really quick.
Yeah. Flip the switch.
Yeah. Turn it off.
Excellent. So you're not originally from the Comox Valley. You're originally from Toronto.
Born in Toronto and lived outside of it in a small town called Oak Ridges.
Okay. And so what brought you to the Comox Valley?
My husband.
Your
husband? I met him. He was in, just joined the military. And he was in Borden, and it was a blind date. Go figure, right?
Yeah.
A friend of my brother's, there was about six of us going to out on a date, and he was military, and that was it. And then we went on from there. And so there's just the different traveling, and it's a perfect job to be in the cooking world, that you can travel and get jobs anywhere. So we went to, first place was Gagetown, New Brunswick, and that's where I learned I know I don't want to be a waitress. That was my first job there, and I was like, no, that's not going to happen ever again. Hats off to them. They're a fabulous bunch.
A good server is worth their gold. Weight in gold.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. To have that personality and be able to
deal
with
people.
You
want what again?
Yeah. Truthfully, that's why I moved back, because I sometimes forget to censor myself.
I know I wouldn't censor myself, so it's a good thing.
Yes.
And then we went from there to Germany. So that gave me 5 years of learning German food while I was there. And
wonderful.
Start meeting German people. And
a lot of meat over there.
Oh, the best schnitzel and cordon bleu. Like, you go to places and you have schnitzel, and it's like, you just don't put breadcrumbs on pork and call it schnitzel. Like, where's the seasoning in there to give it some taste? And that's what I find when we eat out. That's the biggest issue, is you just don't season enough, right?
Right.
And then when we went from there to Edmonton, and then from there to Goose Bay, Labrador, I got some of the fish training in there and all
salt cod.
Boiled dinner and boiled dinners and salt cod and all that. And then we got posted to Comox.
Okay.
And that's how we got here. And he was still in the military, and And then he retired here, and we're in the business. And
so you work together?
Not usually.
Not usually.
He's, as we call him, he's my head serving wench. When we first opened up the business, it was a joke. I was telling my friends that you could give him a little pat and you won't get, you know, charged for harassment or anything. He used to just shake his head. But he works Wednesdays, Saturdays, and Sundays, and he's runs the dining room side. And,
okay.
And I do the. He's got the patience. He's one of those servers that can just, somebody comes in a bad mood, he tries his best to get them to change their mind and be happy when they're leaving. And mm-hmm. So it's a good good working thing. Sure. Mind you, on the other hand, the tea biscuits we serve with our homemade soup are his. He makes them. I don't.
Okay.
And then the burgers that I cook are his recipe, not mine.
Okay.
So that's why they're called Gary's Burgers. And so all these years we've been having burgers and keep changing the recipe. We finally found this one, and he said, maybe we should change it. No, leave it. It's a good one. Just the way it is. We all like it. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there are a couple things he does besides slicing the meat and all the muscle, the lug, everything, right? And
right.
Mm-hmm. All repairs, you know, the usual thing you guys do.
Cause yeah. Because
I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
That's an honest answer, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
I know.
That's great. That's awesome. That's so true.
And then our grandkids come in. Our daughter helps out if we're stuck, if somebody's sick or out. Our daughter will come in sometimes and help serve. And in the younger years, you'd see the little one, 3 years old, running behind her and being with her and hiding behind her skirt, so to speak, you know, and looking at people and talking to them. And now the oldest 14-year-old works with us, and the 12-year-old, 13-year-old Annika, hang me, same wrong age. she'll come in and help too. And then Brianna, now being 7, well, if she's around and wants to help out, she'll do her little thing. But it's come along pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And then speaking of help, we have customers that come in almost every Friday. A man with his 2 kids, they do homeschooling, and they come for breakfast. It's their day to have daddy time with them, and we've brought them in the kitchen 3 times, 4 times, and let them cook their breakfast over the grill and being in the kitchen. So there's usually nobody there at that time of the morning, so it gives them a chance, of course, the excitement of telling that they've got to cook in the kitchen, right? You know, or every now and again, we'll take the kids through the back, and they love to see the great big fridges and freezers.
Sure, yeah.
But being a family restaurant, that's what we try and do, and something different for them, because it's something that nobody else gets to do, right?
Yeah, right, for sure.
Really cool.
Something different.
Different. Well, that's what a restaurant really is, giving something different that people aren't used to getting.
Exactly, yeah.
So what are your plans for the future? Are there...
Retirement. Travel. For now, just keep doing what we're doing for now. Something else comes along, or somebody offers to buy, you know, the usual thing. So right now, just keep going for maybe another 5 years, and then that's it.
Keep doing as many catering and getting the people in there as much as possible.
Yeah. I just enjoy it, and I don't mind the quiet days. They're kind of nice to have a bit of a break and the chance to clean, you know, do the usual stuff that you don't get done on the busy days. And visit with people, your friends coming in to have coffee and sit down and chat with them sometimes when you get the chance. But or bake like today. I do all my own baking there too. So lemon squares, butter tart squares today. I did date squares, you know, all that kind of stuff for the showcase. And get that in there. And...
yeah, nice. Scratch cooking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I think everybody does. The majority of people do scratch cooking.
Mm-hmm.
It's just at a different level, right? Because you do all scratch cooking all the time at the Atlas, but yours is a different kind of food than what we do. So mine's more home style, so we've moved the display cooler. So as soon as you walk in the door, it's right there, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes we do homemade pies. Christmas time, we try and do up tortillas and have them ready for people to... frozen, they just have to throw them in the oven and, and take them home. But depends on how the schedule is.
How much time you have.
Yeah.
I got an interesting idea for you that I made. An upside down lemon meringue pie. instead of traditional graham cracker crust, you use the meringue for the crust, and then you put the filling in.
Did it fall on you? Or
no, it was
how
awesome.
How did you keep the meringue up without
you
it falling?
You baked it first. So I whipped it up, and then I baked it in the oven for about 15 minutes until it solidified, and then I just put the custard in and put it in the fridge.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was really neat.
Yummy.
Yeah.
Yummy. That works for me. I don't need the crust. But I like it better. Like you said, graham cracker crust. That's how I like my meringue pie with the graham cracker instead of the pie crust.
But I do, I don't eat grains and gluten and stuff, so that was a perfect way to flip it around. And
I'm glad you said that, because that's the other thing. Starting the second week in August, I'll have a baker in the house, Sarah Valentine, doing gluten-free baking.
Oh, awesome.
At the shop. Because we do offer gluten-free options, but now we'll have more right on hand baking and breads, and I believe she does bagels also. So.
Cool.
Yeah, so it'll be a nice... I put it on Facebook the other day, and it got more hits than anything has in a long time, so it was a good...
Gluten-free
is the new thing, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people are getting away from gluten as much as possible.
So. It's amazing how many people are breaking away from that, so we'll just have to change things up a little bit, and
it's
going to be with us when we'll be at Flavor also this year.
Oh, good.
I'm going to try that out. And
Oh, yeah, because you missed last year, didn't you?
I didn't even know about it until it was like maybe Leslie asked me, and it was like 2 weeks, 3 weeks before it was to happen.
Right.
And I can't believe how fast the tickets sold out again already. Like
3.5 days.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. No time to think about it. Either do it or you don't.
Yeah. It's a huge event. It's incredible.
It will be. Is there ever time to walk away from?
Yes. I would bring
we're going to bring four people.
People as you can with you. I think we had four in my booth, and Blaine was laughing at me the whole time because he was around interviewing people.
Cool.
And John couldn't leave his
booth. I had my head down for, I guess, the first hour and a half. I don't think I moved because I was...
You were just slicing...
I was slicing nori rolls and...
So did you make something easier this year?
Probably not.
That's what I'm thinking. I think I did too aggressive. We're going to use our burger meat in one of our...
Oh, nice.
Well, it's wanted to do something that promoted the business as well, not just the catering. So I'm going to do a little baguette with some horseradish mayo on it, and then a little burger on top, and then a little bit of our sweet pickled onion. And
nice.
It'll be like a two-bite simple thing, but the work will be making the meatballs.
Yeah.
That is the
lot of meatballs.
That would be the labor ahead of time. Yeah.
Yeah. You always forget how much 800 is. So you have to make each one individually.
Yeah. Well, it was enough when we had to do them for the Women's Business Network. That was the first time we put it together and tried making it, right?
Oh, okay.
And we had our appetizer night in the summer, and I didn't make them. I got the staff to make them. Lovely Cheryl did it all. And that's a long time to make. Like, holy jumping. That's going to be quite. Thank God for ice cream, the little mini ice cream scoops, right?
Oh, yeah.
To scoop it. But even still, they still have to be flattened for cooking.
Yeah.
But to go back to your question, I did have some free time at the end of it to sort of stroll around. I actually walked around with my wife at my back with her hand pushing me from booth to booth. So I actually got around to everyone because I would start chatting with people. And
being it's what you do, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I got totally wrapped up in a few stations there. But yeah, it was definitely a great event. So.
Nice. I have to take 1 year and just be a participant instead of a spectator. That's the word, yeah.
Yeah. This guy will never do that, though. He's too involved all the time.
No, it's more fun.
What we like to do, right?
Yeah.
And as long as you get some time to get away.
Exactly.
Why not?
Just to see what's there and chat with a few people. So. Yeah.
Cool.
Excellent. So I wanted to ask you a question about what are your favorite types of foods? Throwing that at you and you're probably like,
My favorite types of food. I would probably say Italian food, because that's my heritage, would be my favorite, but I love seafood. I love going out and having a good seafood bowl. I usually go to Comox to Avenue and have their seafood bouillabaisse there that they have.
Right.
Oh, that's my favorite. Keep asking them to keep the potatoes and give me more vegetables instead. And just love it.
Mm-hmm.
I just love it. It's really good tasting. And, but, well, it's not much food I don't care for. Mm-hmm. I like pretty much everything. Yeah, I guess as long as it's not hot, I'm a wuss when it comes to heat.
Not a spice person.
But otherwise, everything, yeah. When I went on this diet program, the first two things I missed were the bread and the cheese.
Mm.
And now the cheese isn't tasting so good because I've been away from it so long. Mm. It's like, really? When I first started, I think mid-November, and Christmas came, having dinner with my daughter at her house. So we weren't going to have a traditional meal. We were just going to have what we wanted. So she wanted ham, and all I wanted was lasagna because of the pasta, right? I ate this little wee piece, and I was full, and it really wasn't as good as the anticipation you build up for, yeah. Right? But it'll still always be my favorite food, no matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty much keeps me out of a gluten-free diet, as I love pasta.
Yeah.
And I know him preaching to me about the greatness of not being on a gluten-free diet appeals to me.
Well, there are great health benefits, like the change that you feel and everything when you get away from it. But that first 2 weeks, 3 weeks, it's like, oh, man, really? And I got to put bread in the toaster and smell it when it comes out.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's horrible.
I haven't had a piece of bread in over a year now, so bread to me is not pasta, all that, not even an option.
Wow.
So it's not a big deal.
It's just getting past it. It's changing your way of thinking about food is all it is. And
yeah. To me,
that's the hardest thing we have to learn to do.
Yeah, it wasn't a craving thing so much. It was just, okay, I used to eat sandwiches and toast all the time. Now what do I do instead? And you just find that way, and then it's just how it is. It's just as easy as it was going to eating all that stuff. Once you swap it out, it's
just finding something to swap it out with that makes bread is always an easy grab.
Exactly.
Filler, right?
Yeah.
And it's a little easier here, I think, because there's a lot of products available that are outside. Actually, we don't have grains.
Yeah.
On Vancouver Island. So it's not even, if you actually think about going to a local diet, it's not there.
No. We got all that fresh vegetables, and like right now, all that fruit that's available to eat is just like, awesome.
Yeah.
And don't forget the seafood, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Such a variety. It's good.
Yeah. For sure.
All right, Carmi. Well, thanks for coming to studio. I don't know if you have anything else to add, but I think that wraps up most of our questions.
I think we've covered just about everything.
Great.
So, yeah, I guess if you're in Cumberland, go go check out Carmi's Cafe on Dunsmuir Avenue.
And if you have a party and you want it catered, give her a call.
I'll be there.
Thanks a lot, Carmi.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for listening to the Edible Valley Podcast. We gratefully accept donations to help with the operating costs of the podcast or local ingredients to create new dishes in the Edible Valley Test Kitchen. Check out our website, ediblevalley.com. Like us on Facebook and follow our Twitter feed at Edible Valley. Email us with your comments or guests you would like to hear on the show. Don't hesitate to send along your cooking questions for John to answer on the show or to pick our brain on other local food information. Edible Valley at gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, keep it local.